Hey everyone, welcome to LifeBridge Online. Whenever it is that you are watching this, whatever hour, whatever day it is, we are grateful that you are joining us online. And I am confident that the day is drawing near as we keep talking about opening back up our world, that we know it, that we're going to be gathered together, and we're going to be worshiping together soon. And we're going to celebrate what God is doing in our lives at that time. And I can't wait. I can't wait for that Sunday to be here. I want you to know that I am still praying Romans 15:13 over our church family. It reads, "I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in Him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." I fully believe that the power of the Holy Spirit is alive in us, and as we trust in Him, even though we are living in a time of uncertainty, we can be filled completely with joy and peace as we trust in Him. We're kicking off a new series today, and it's on the first letter that Peter wrote to a specific region of Christians, but it certainly applies and is applicable to our lives today. Hopefully you have been doing the inductive Bible study that we have challenged you to participate in. And my prayer for a few weeks now is that repetition of your personal prayer or your personal study and this teaching that we do on Sunday mornings is going to aid you all the more in hiding or being able to hide the Word of God in your heart so that it can direct how you live your life. Now, I want to add some assurance. If you have not done the Bible study, then no worries. We are praying for you as well. And we are praying that this message and the messages that we teach from out of 1 Peter, that they will impact your life so that you can become more like Jesus. So as we get into the book, a little background for you as we look at Peter's first letter. This letter was written around 63 A.D. It was written to churches and Christians who were scattered in a region that is modern-day Turkey. So if you look at the Middle East, just to the east of the Mediterranean, the south of the Black Sea, you'll see Turkey in that region. Peter was writing this letter to the churches and to the Christians in this region. Now, the Roman Empire is still in charge of the world. The Roman Empire is the world, and Nero is the ruler. And he is known for being one of the more ruthless emperors. He's a vicious man. Now, when Christianity first started, when it was in its infancy and it was isolated in Jerusalem, it was seen as nothing more than just some religious sect that this group of Jews were doing down in their world. And it wasn't a threat. It wasn't a bother to anyone else. But as the church started to expand, and as it started to scatter into other regions, Nero made it his personal mission to rid the world of this movement. He went to great lengths to torture and to kill Christians of that day. It is documented that he would burn Christians at night to provide light for Rome. He would cover them with oil and light them on fire in these cages that were suspended in air, just so that he could give light to his city. Nero is also given credit for making Paul and Peter martyrs, killing them at different times because they would not deny Jesus. We know that Peter was crucified, and legend has it that he desired to be nailed to a cross and hung upside down because he did not feel worthy enough to die in the same exact manner that Jesus did. As we talk about the setup and as we move into the sermon, I want to remind you that this sermon series was chosen last September. We were sitting around, we're just praying through 2020 and praying through the year, placing on the calendar when we felt things needed to go and what we needed to talk about in different seasons of this year. And as we were planning things out for 2020, I was led to this letter written specifically to Christians who were going through difficult times. And it seems, as I craft sermons, as I study through 1 Peter, it seems as though God knew exactly what He was doing last year. As He's leading us in this season of life, and specifically what we're talking about today. So for the next 6 weeks, or for 6 weeks now, I'm sorry, we keep mentioning and talking about the uneasiness of what is going on in our world. There's a lot of uncertainty, and people don't like uncertainty. People want to know what is going on. They want stability in their life, and for the last 6 weeks, we've had anything but stability. And I have conversations each week with people in our church, people outside of our church, who are going through some really difficult times right now. People in our church have lost their jobs, or they are being furloughed, and this is causing a financial burden in their life. Some have taken pay cuts as they continue to work, and they really don't know when their salary will increase to before this COVID-19. This causes strain. This causes burdens. There are health and medical concerns right now weighing people down. We have people in our church who are dealing with things. We've sent out emails asking you to pray for these people. People are going through difficult times. There are marriages that are hurting. I had a texting conversation and a prayer request from somebody in our church just last night about a couple that they know who right now in this season, the marriage is falling apart. People are hurting. We have friends and friends of friends who have suffered from the recent storms within the last 2 weeks, losing their house, losing parts of their house, just, again, causing strain and burden on life. We have high school seniors who've been dealt a bad hand as their year came to a sudden halt, and they're missing out on events that most of us have fond memories of. And the list goes on and on if we want it to. Now maybe you're sitting here today and you're one of the fortunate. Maybe you have only been inconvenienced the past 6 weeks as life has just been altered a little bit for you. Maybe you're still working full time. Maybe you're still getting a paycheck. And all that the last 6 weeks has been has just been a little bit of an inconvenience. You can still relate though, can't you? You can relate to the difficult times that happen in life. Because the reality is, we have all faced challenging times in life. Challenging circumstances is something that all humans have in common. It doesn't matter your background. It doesn't matter your race. It doesn't matter what your socioeconomic position is in our society. Challenging circumstances is something that every human has had to face in some way, shape, or form. And so today, Peter, as we read through chapter 1, Peter is writing a letter to Christians who are facing difficult times. Men and women who believe in this relatively new Christian movement and are now being persecuted because of their beliefs. When you get to the end of this first letter in chapter 5, Peter writes in his closing remarks, "I write this letter to encourage you." You see, he wants the letter, and he wants to make that point clear that this letter is to be an encouragement, because the letter can come across a little negative. The word suffering is mentioned 15 times in this very short letter. Clearly, as Peter is writing this to his modern day audience, we are not the first to face uncertainty because of the circumstances that we are in. We all have that in common. So together, let's check out 1 Peter 1, two verses this morning, verses 6 and 7. Read this with me. "So be truly glad," and I'm reading from the NLT this morning, So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. So these Christians were facing difficulties with health. They were facing financial strain, financial hardships. They were even having to deal with persecution that risked their very survival as Christians in this region. They will have to, as Peter writes here, they will have to endure these trials for a little while. And what Peter's telling us here is that, hey, these trials are temporary. They're not going to last forever. Even if to some it may take your life, the trials themselves are still temporary. And we need to find joy in that. As a matter of fact, Peter talks about the attitude that we should have because the trials that we face, the difficulties that we face, are only temporary. Look at the attitude that Peter is encouraging here. It says in verse 6, "Rejoice," or "be glad because of what is coming, even though you will have to endure many trials." Like, I mean, that's not really the go-to attitude, isn't it? That when life gets hard and when things come down on us, the go-to attitude is not to rejoice. It's not to be glad. And I love how the NLT says it. It says, "There is wonderful joy ahead." And that right there is what should spur our attitude into gladness, into rejoicing. Because there is wonderful joy ahead. Maybe not in the moment of what I'm going through, but what lies on the other side. And so even though you are going through something today, it's probably not comfortable. It may be causing you stress right now. There is joy ahead. These trials show that your faith is genuine. We have to remember this biblical truth that God allows us to face trials. Because this is what test our faith. God is always working in your current circumstance to prepare you for the future, to prepare you for what lies ahead. He is preparing you today for not only a future season of life on earth, but He's preparing you for heaven. He is prepping you today for eternity. Yeah, let me say that again. What you're going through today is preparing you for eternity. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, and he says, "I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue His work and until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns." There is a work that is taking place in your life that is bringing you to completion, that is bringing you to Christ-likeness. The faith that you have has to be developed. And the only way faith can be developed and really tested and really to see the progress is through trials, is through struggles. So be truly glad because there is wonderful joy ahead. Now look at the second part of verse 7. I love this analogy. Your faith is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. He talks about gold and fire, gold smithing. I'm not even sure that's a word, but it's in my vocabulary. Purifying gold takes place by heating the gold in a smelting furnace just long enough to remove the cheap impurities from within. So the fire burns off everything that contaminates the gold and lessens the value of it. And so the fire heats this up, it gets rid of the impurities, and it makes this gold, it makes this gold, it makes it pure. By removing the contaminants, the gold actually increases in value. So as the impurities are burned off, the gold actually increases in value. Now here's the thing. The gold has to go through the fire. If not, those impurities, those imperfections, those things that cause the gold to be of less value, they remain. And it has to go through this fire in order for the purification process to take place. And Peter is drawing us to this image of our faith going through the same thing. Our faith faces the fire in these trials. And as we endure these, we come out of the fire more like Jesus. It is said that Middle Eastern goldsmiths would leave the gold in the furnace until he could see his own reflection in it. If that is true, isn't that a beautiful illustration as it applies to our faith being tested? So the Lord allows us to go through trials just long enough for him to see his reflection in our faith. Church, your trials today are preparing you for glory tomorrow. And so this is why we keep asking the question over and over again. We're asking it in our life groups. I've asked it in sermons. How do you see God preparing you right now? What is God doing in this season of your life to prepare you for the future? And I know the answer may not come today. It's probably not just written on the wall, clear for you, this is what I'm doing right now. And it may not even be revealed for months to come. It may not even be revealed for years to come. But it's the process, it is a process of trusting God in these times that helps shape us into the likeness of Jesus. So let me close with these words from James. James opens up his letter to churches. He opens it up very similar to how Peter does. Chapter 1, verse 2, James says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." There it is again. Troubles, trials, suffering, and joy. Verse 3, "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." When your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. When endurance is fully developed, you will become perfect. You will be perfect and complete. Church, I pray that this encourages you as we go through this time of uncertainty. My prayers for you.